Read from Jeremiah 29, verses 11 through 14. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. Then when you call upon my name and come and pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me. If you seek me with all of your heart, I will let you find me, says the Lord. And I'll restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. Father, we pray this morning that you just be with us, Lord. We pray for our hearts and our minds. May our hearts and minds be open to your Spirit. And may your Spirit work in us and form in us something new, more into your image. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Be seated. So, having a four-year-old, one of his favorite games for a time was hide-and-seek. He loved hide-and-seek. I think he loves the counting. It's not always perfect. Sometimes we skip three or four numbers. Sometimes we don't get a chance to hide because we already get to like 20. You know, 1 to 20. But he loves to count, and he loves to hide. And what I think he really loves is the finding component, you know, that seeking component of hide and seek. I think it's just one of his favorite things. It's really something, and maybe you've had this with a child or a grandchild, but it's really something to listen to and watch, because there is this continual running commentary as he's looking. So as he's seeking, he's like, is he behind the couch? And then is he in this place? And he'll open the door, and it's a running commentary. And then when he finds you, there is this burst of exuberant joy of, you know, I found you. And there's laughing, and we play it all over again. But then there are times as an adult when, you probably know what I'm talking about here, you just don't want to play. You know what I mean? You're tired. You'd rather just sit on the couch. But Isaac doesn't want any of that. He may know that I'm out, that I want to sit on the couch, but he doesn't care. What he says is, you stay here and I'll hide. Right? Which is great, because I know I'm a bad dad, because then I'm like, well, let me count to 100 then. You know, you get nice and cozy in that hiding place, buddy. But, you know, he goes along with it, and he goes and hides, and I stay on the couch for as long as I can. But here's what Isaac does. He starts giggling. I'm on the couch, right? He starts giggling, and he says, Dad, Dad, because four-year-olds don't know how to whisper, Dad, I'm right over here. Just come look behind the couch, Dad. I'm right here. And finally, after enough of that, I get up and I walk over and I look around the couch, and there he is. And it's that same kind of exuberant joy of, you found me. And that's when I see a little beauty in hide and seek. There's this beauty in him wanting to be found. He wants to be found. And in our text for today, it includes this much recited and much printed on everything you can possibly imagine, Jeremiah 29:11. I mean, as one writer writes, Jeremiah 29:11 has to be one of the most quoted and the most claimed promises of the Bible. And it makes sense. We use it to speak over individuals' lives, and why not? It's a good word of promise. It reminds us that God is still in control of everything, no matter what is going on in our life and in the moment. But let's look at this text and remember where this verse is coming out of. Let's not forget that the prophet is speaking these words of God to a people who are living in exile. And that's a bit of a theme as we read through Scripture, as we start in Genesis and get to Revelation. I think one of the things we notice is that good news seems to emerge in the most unlikeliest of places and at the most unlikeliest of times. Have you ever noticed that about good news? It kind of just pops up when we least expect it, or we even believe that there could be good news in the moment. God has a way of saying, oh yeah, there's good news coming. And in fact, there's good news here. And that's the thing about good news. Everything could be going bad. Life could be going haywire. You could be having one of those no good, very bad days. And yet during it, something happens and turns it all around. Good news has a way of changing perspective. This Wednesday, in the last like 14 days, have been kind of rough for me. I haven't been in the best of moods. My family would attest to that. But Wednesday before ladies' Bible class, and I had talked to Miss Betty, and I had talked a while about a pie, you know, and she makes amazing pies. But she was asking if I'd had a pie, and I was like, oh, Miss Betty, this was a couple weeks, I haven't had a pie in forever. No, you haven't had cherry pie? No, I hadn't even had cherry pie, which is to say something for me. So this Wednesday, she comes into ladies' Bible class like she does, and she's got a nice, hot cherry pie. And I looked at her, and I went, Miss Betty, you don't know this, but I needed this. And I didn't need the cherry pie. What I needed was just that moment that there's good news in the world. And isn't that what good news does? It just kind of pops up. And then it changes your perspective of everything. Everything seems, the sun shines a little bit brighter. It may not be as hot, even though it is. And here the exiles are being told something that would be incredibly hard for them to imagine. First, Jerusalem had fallen, as we've talked about. Secondly, Babylon had destroyed the temple. And thirdly, they're in exile. And finally, they find out that it's not going to be a short exile, as we talked about in Jeremiah 28, when the false prophet Hananiah says this, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 years, I'll bring you back. And so they hear that, and then Jeremiah, just before what we read, says this to them. After the text we've been reading says this, do not let the prophets and the diviners who are among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams as they dream, for it is a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them. So Jeremiah in his own way is saying, it's going to be a while. And so all of these things are happening to him, one bad thing after another. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, after verse 9, verse 11 kind of pops out of nowhere. And God speaks a surprising word of good news. The people are under judgment, and still God says, there is a future for you. Exile is not your final destination. God is not done yet. The book hasn't been finished because God is the author and not the Babylonians. It feels like night right now, is what Jeremiah says. It feels like night. I get it. But dawn is just around the corner. And while it may seem pitch black, without any light at all, up comes this text right here in verses 11 through 14. It would have been easy for the exiles to wallow in their sorrow, just sit on the couch and die. It would have been easy to give up, because here's the thing, when you have no vision of the future, why continue to move forward? When there's no vision, what is the point in doing anything? Why try? I mean, if exile means that God is through with you, that God is not present, again, this is all based on their thinking of the world, then why try? And if we look at exile for just a minute, exile was this new space for the people of God. It was a space of helplessness and loneliness. Exile was confusion for the people. Whatever they thought they knew, they didn't. Exile was a moment for them of cognitive dissonance. It was a moment of reorientation for the people. And wherever their lives have been, whatever they had been doing in the land of Israel, we notice something went haywire. And in Jeremiah 17, but in Jeremiah 17, verses 5 and 6, the prophet says what's going to happen to him. The prophet says why everything went haywire. And we notice that. Notice what he says. Cursed are those who trust in mere mortals. So they're trusting in themselves and make mere flesh their strength. So whatever they're doing is their strength. However they're building it is their strength. Get this, whose hearts have turned away from the Lord. They shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when relief comes. They shall live in the parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land. The good life that they were creating for themselves was what the prophet says was anti-God. They were relying on themselves, and in so relying on themselves, they were turning away from God. They were not seeking God. And so in this moment of exile, as Jeremiah has said, what went haywire? When all hope is lost, the question is, where is hope found? When you don't feel like you have a future, where is the future found? How can you keep moving forward? And this is where we begin to realize that exile is not the final destination, but the crucible in which God will do something with the people. 11 through 14 is exile is the crucible. Exile is the changing of perspective. Exile is the reorientation. Exile is the opportunity for people to find their identity once again. And that's the paradox with exile. In exile, the people thought God wasn't available, and yet God says, in exile, I am available. In exile, I'm ready to act. In exile, you will find me again. In exile, you will find the future. And as Walter Brueggemann says, he says this, where is it? There it is. This is a day. This is an assertion of the gospel. God is available in the midst of despair and will override both the despair and the circumstances which generate it. In exile, at the lowest point for the people, the prophet calls the people back to God, back to their very beginning, a people of seeking. And it's been a while since the people had sought God, because they've been finding and looking for and seeking their own desires and will. They've been trying to do it all on their own. Because haven't you known that when you get in exile, you kind of try to do it on your own to get yourself out of that hole? You kind of try to figure out your own self how to do it. And yet God is saying to them, I'm right here. I'm just right behind the couch. And in fact, God's not even saying it quietly. He's saying, I'm right behind the couch. Come find me. It's the easiest hide-and-seek game you can possibly imagine. This word from God is a moment of good news that the people needed, because God hadn't abandoned them. God hadn't forgot about them. God wanted the best for them, even in exile. God was planning their future. And I think today, that's a word we need to hear. I think we need to hear good news in a sea of bad news. And you might be feeling like right now you are in your own exile. You might be feeling right now like you are in a sea of bad news and there is no good news and all the walls are coming around you and the sun is not shining and it all feels dark. And you may be feeling that right now. Wherever we are in life, wherever you are in life, the first thing I will say is this: not your final state. If exile teaches us anything, it's not the final destination, that God does have a plan for you, and that God has the future you're looking for. So in exile, we don't see a future, so generally we just stay in the mud. But what if I were to tell you that God says exile isn't the final future, God's got the future for you, you just got to seek God. And in seeking God, in the place that we generally do a lot of times, it's always the last thing. And that's the thing. They get into exile. It's like they're trying to figure out how to do life, right? What's it going to look like in here? Woe is us. And God's like, I should be the first place you come. Seek me and live is what God says. The future and plan will not be based on your timetable, is what God says. And that's probably the hardest part about exile and the kind of times that we feel where the walls are coming in is we want it on our plan. We want to be in exile and out of exile as quickly as possible. But have you ever noticed it takes a little bit longer. Generally, it takes longer. Why? Because we don't realize that God's the first. We realize that God's the last. So we try to do it on our own for a little while, and then we're like, oh, that didn't work. And then we finally turn to God. Here's the grace that God offers. I'm right behind the couch. Just turn to me. Even if you got to count to 100, just seek me and find me. God has got the grace to say, as long as it takes, even 70 years, you'll find me. I'm right here. I haven't gone anywhere. This is God's timetable, not ours. And man, that feels like good news today, because I think God knows a lot better than we do. Because here's the thing. The world tries to offer us a future. And let me back this up, because I didn't realize I put this in the wrong spot. But the world tries to offer us a future. And this is what Paul says about this future in 1 Corinthians 15. And what he's talking about is resurrection. So if the resurrection isn't good news, right? It didn't actually happen. Then Paul says, then if with mere human hopes I fought with wild animals at Ephesus and would have gained by it if the dead are not raised, then he says this, then let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. There's the future of the world. Eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. The world's future is a futile future with a futile end. Not much of anything, right? All based on yourself. You're trusting in yourself. The exile saw Babylon as the end. God sees exile as a whole other story. Redemption and return. God felt hidden in the moment in exile. And God may feel hidden to you today. Yet God says to you today, I'm right behind the couch. Just seek me and live. Seek me and you will find me. This is the easiest game of hide and seek you could ever play. The good news is that God makes it so easy. God tells us what is required in verses 12 through 14. He says this, then when you call upon my name, so when you call upon me, right? Then when you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. Notice the availability of God. God says this is what it requires of you. Verse 13, when you, I love this, search for me, you will find me. If you seek me with all of your heart, I will let you find me. Notice what's going on here. It's got nothing to do with you. It's got everything to do with God. God tells us what is required. And get this, he doesn't even make it hard. He says, I got a future for you. And it's a good one. God desires to be found because God desires the very best for the people and God desires the very best for you. God is only as far as we want God to be. And have you ever noticed that God's distance from us is always on our terms and never on God's terms? God says, I know you think I'm real far, but I've been right here the whole time. And in exile, God says, you think I've been really far and in another land, but I've been right there with you the whole time. Have you ever noticed that we're generally the ones, when it comes to these moments of exile, we're generally the ones who build the walls. We're the ones who create the barriers between us and God. And as Paul reminds us, God's the one who busts them down. And how do we know this for sure, just in case you're wondering? I got one word for you. It's the easiest answer in any Bible class. Jesus. If you ever want to know how close God is to you in this moment, God said, let me show you. Here's my son. And in the life of Jesus, we witness God's desire to be found by us. It is God's grace to creation. God at any point could have been like, I'm done with you. And yet, what does God say? I'm not done with you. And when you get into your lowest pit, I'm there with you. And I am in the flesh and I understand what you're going through. In our moments of exile, God might feel far away. It might be easy for us to try to do it on our own. But in doing that, we continue to dig the hole deeper. And God continues to say, are you at 100 yet? Because I'm right here. Turn to me. Find me. I have a far greater future for you. In all of this that we've talked about in the last 4 weeks, how we should seek the best for our city. You want to know why? Because we should be the people who say that we have a future. We're the people who say there is a future and it is a good future. Let us show you what that future is. We're that people. I'm afraid a lot of times we struggle with that. But God says, you are the people of the future. You know what the future is. You know what the future holds. If the exiles and if we believe that there is a future for us, that future is good, it's a future not by our design, because let's be honest, we'll mess it up real quick. All I could think about as I wrote that line was, It's a Wonderful Life. Not one of my favorite movies in the world, maybe yours, good for you, but not mine. But you have this whole idea of George Bailey, right? And George Bailey has got whatever's going on in his life, it's not good. And he's getting ready to jump off a cliff, or no, bridge. Anyway, getting ready to jump off a bridge because nothing is good. And then Clarence, the guardian angel, shows up and says, well, you want me to show what it looked like if you hadn't been around? And he shows him the future if he hadn't been around. And you got this moment in which George Bailey realizes that God has actually been right there with him, forming and putting and planting and working a future. All he had to do, you know, God had to send in the movie, God sent a guardian angel. In the real story, God sent his son and said, you humanity think you don't have a future. You're trying to figure it out. Well, let me show you what the future is. By the way, we're supposed to be the people who know that future. We're supposed to be the people who continually seek God to find that future. a future planned by God where we can move forward in every step. It's a life that knows that through any situation and any circumstance, God's got this. And to put it another way, God is for your good. That we can see beyond our present situation, even when it's hard. Remember, perspective, good news each day to remind that God loves you, that Christ died for you, that you will seek God out today, has a way of changing perspectives, that even the harshest of news, there's still good news ahead. It's why Paul in Corinthians can say, these light and momentary troubles do not outweigh what is for me in glory. By the way, what he says is the weightiness of glory. Paul has a way of changing the perspective. We can see beyond our present situation, even when it's hard. It's what God is calling the exiles to do, to look beyond. It's what God calls us to do today, to look beyond. And here's the key. We either believe it or we don't. We either believe there's a future that God has mapped out, that God is working out for us today, tomorrow, and in the end. And we take hold of that future. And we take hold of it by seeking God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, all of our mind, or we don't. So then, we do good because we serve a God that is good. And when we do that, others will begin to see the future hope in us, a hope of abundance, a hope that is secured in God. And guess what? In this, every day we are reminded that God is right there. And if we've walked into the waters of baptism, and if we've claimed Jesus as our Messiah, then this should be our future. Because what we see is those who don't claim Jesus are ones with a future that says, let's eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. And I think a lot of times today, that's the future that seems to be winning. And instead, we've got a future planted in us that says, oh no, there's a God who is planning to get you out of this place and is preparing mansions for you and is preparing a city for you that you will never die, where every tear is wiped away and where pain is no more. And it's a future that is in us who know that Jesus is who Jesus said he was. And there's a world out there that's looking for that same future. They are. There's a hole in them that says, this can't be it. Eat, drink, and tomorrow we die cannot be it. It gets old after a while, even in the hardest times. And so we have a future to offer people. But are you living it today? If you're struggling in exile, are you seeking God? We'll help you seek God. We'll help you search for him, because guess what? He's right behind the couch. And he so wants to be found. And if you don't understand that future, we're here to talk to you about it. There's the waters of baptism that will begin the start and journey into a new future, into a good future, into one that even in exile, God says, 70 years, that's like a day for me. And guess what? Everything's going to turn back around. People need good news. You got it in you. They need to hear it. And we got good news here too as well. If you need that good news, we're here. People are sitting next to you who can talk to you about it. We'll have people up front. Come now as we stand and as we sing.